Tonight's Bible reading is John chapter 6, reading verses 25 to 59. This reading can be found on page 1070 of the Church Bibles. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum.
Shall I pray as we look at the Bible together? Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible, which tells us about Jesus, tells us everything that we need to know to be saved. Would you help us to understand it? Help us to learn from it. In Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder what satisfies you. We're 4 days on from Christmas, and I do hope that yours was full of good food, quality family time, and maybe some great gifts. But are you feeling satisfied? And as we reach the new year and you look back on 2024, how are you feeling? Has sticking to your New Year's resolutions, if indeed you did manage to stick to them, has that made you more satisfied this year? See, I guess the thing is that we all know that however many roasties we ate on Christmas Day, however full we were feeling, just a few hours later, you're probably ready for more food. That the presents we received, however great, won't stop us wanting more stuff very soon. That whatever achievements we completed this year, there will always be something else to do, something else to strive for, someone else who's better than us. So where do we find true satisfaction? As Caroline said, for the next 3 weeks, we're asking, who is this baby? We spent the last week of Christmas celebrating at the birth of Jesus. But who did he grow up to be? Who did he grow up to be that he has such an impact, even at 2,000 years later? And to answer this question, we're going to be looking at three sections of the book of John that we've just read from in the Bible. John was one of the 12 disciples, close friends with Jesus. And a while after Jesus died, he wrote an account of Jesus' life. And right at the end of it, he tells us why he wrote it, which will help us to understand what he's saying. So in John chapter 20 and verse 30, he says that Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. See, John focuses his book on the signs that Jesus performed, the signs that show us who he is. And John also includes seven statements or claims Jesus makes about himself. And we're going to be looking at three of those in the next few weeks. What's known as the I am statements. And John says that he wrote all of this, his book, so that we can know who Jesus is and receive the life that he offers. Well, more on that in a bit. We're going to look closer at some of the verses that were read to us, which were on page 1070. So do have that open as we go through. And as we do so, we're going to see three things which help us. And we're going to see the problem, food that spoils, the offer, the bread of life, and the answer, come and believe. So first, the problem, food that spoils. At this point, a few chapters into John, Jesus has gained a reputation and a following as he's been going around Israel, teaching and healing people. So much so, in fact, that even when he tries to get a little bit of peace and quiet, the crowds still go and try and find him. When they do, though, Jesus tells them that they're looking for him for the wrong reason. Have a look down at verse 26. So at the bottom of that page where the little 26 is. John writes, Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. See, the crowds have got the wrong idea of who Jesus is. The day before, more than 5,000 people had been fed by him from just 5 loaves and 2 fish. And now they want more. They want to fill their stomachs out with free food. All they're concerned with is the material stuff that's in front of them, the food that came from nothing. And too focused on that, they miss the signs that it's supposed to point to. See, well, Jesus did see the hungry people in front of him and want to help them and give them food so that they could eat. The feeding was also supposed to be a sign that Jesus is the God who provides everything that we need. John writes it in a way that reminds us that for Jews, it would have provoked strong memories of what happened hundreds of years before when Moses led them out of Egypt and into the desert. There they were provided with food, manna, from heaven by God to sustain them in the wilderness. And now a hungry people have been miraculously provided with food, and John notes that it's actually exactly the same time of year as the people were fed in the wilderness. He's drawing out parallels to show that Jesus has come to sustain the people. But the people don't see this real meaning. They're just looking for Jesus to get them to give him more food. But even if they have more, they will get hungry again. The food will spoil and go off and go moldy. See, the free food might be good, but if that's all they're looking for, they won't be satisfied. Now, there were some of them that did see this as a sign, but they misinterpreted it. John says in verse 15 that they intended to come and make Jesus king by force. They had decided that Jesus was their promised saviour king, but they thought that that meant he would conquer their Roman oppressors and free the country politically. But Jesus says that's not who he is. That's not why he's come. A military victory wouldn't satisfy. Not properly. There would be more enemies in the future, more problems to deal with. See, the people are looking towards things that spoil, things that end up leaving you wanting more, rather than providing what you need. And so these are both dangers to watch out for as we look at who Jesus is. To limit him to just a provider of things we want. To say, I'll follow you if you give me the job I want. Or to make him into what we need to achieve our own ends. Maybe saying that he's just a good teacher, an example, perhaps. Someone to admire, but not someone to worship. But these things won't satisfy. There will always be a hunger inside, something more that we want. Jesus says he offers something much better if we understand who he really is. So second, the offer, the bread of life. Have a look at verse 27 again. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Jesus says he's offering something that lasts. Food which endures to eternal life. Something which doesn't spoil, but fully provides. Something only he can give. But the crowds are still confused. What is this food that endures? And so a little bit further on, Jesus explains more. Verse 35. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. We've seen the crowds have come to Jesus because they're searching for something. They're missing something from their lives, and they hope Jesus can provide it. Healing, food, military leadership. Jesus is offering something far greater. He's offering life that fully satisfies, that never leaves you fully feeling empty. This is life that says, that never says, if only I had more, or if only I had that thing. No loneliness, boredom, frustration, no hunger or thirst. It's life where every need is provided for. And Jesus says that he himself is that life, that he is the source of this full satisfaction. Now, that's not to say that Christians will never go hungry or thirsty physically again, although we don't need to work to earn, to buy bread that we need to live. That's still important. What's being offered is bigger than that. It's a promise of a life in the future when all needs are met, not just physical ones. And it's offer of life now, free from having to search for meaning, from feeling empty, for striving after things that will spoil. Jesus says he is the bread of life. So that leaves just one question then. How to receive it? And so third, we see the answer. Come and believe. So Jesus also tells us who can receive this life. And it's anyone. Anyone who comes and believes. Look again at verse 35. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. There are no limits, no prerequisites. You don't have to be a certain type of person to have done or not done certain things, to come from a certain background, to have a particular history. There are no limits. Anyone can come. But you do have to come and to believe. Both parts are important. The crowd gives us examples of people who do come, but they don't believe. They come for food, not for who Jesus is. And so are left searching for what they think will satisfy. In fact, John records them grumbling that Jesus can't possibly be what he claims to be. He's just Mary and Joseph's boy from down the road, just an ordinary guy. He can't be what he claims. Earlier on, they asked Jesus what they had to do to get the food that endures to eternal life, expecting, I guess, for him to say, keep the commandments or give your money away or something like that. But verse 29, Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." That's all it takes to believe. If you're not a Christian and you're here, maybe off the back of one of our services, Christmas services, this might seem like a huge step. To believe in someone that you've never met, who lived so long ago, who claims such huge and seemingly impossible things. Remember what John said about his book, that these signs are written that you may believe. See, the Bible never asks us to trust blindly without evidence. It always gives a reason. See, if a stranger came up to you in the middle of the street and says that they are God, you'd be right, I think, in being skeptical. But then if that person started performing miracles, if their life matched up with promises from hundreds of years ago, and if what they say completely matched what they do, if they never did anything wrong, well, maybe they'd be worth investigating. John and the rest of the Bible gives eyewitness testimony of just that. The people around at the same time as they were writing had plenty of opportunity to point out any inaccuracies, anything they'd made up. But at the time, no one disputed that Jesus had fed the 5,000 or walked on water or healed the sick. They only argued about what it meant. Jesus' claim is that it means that he is the God who provides, and that all you need to receive the life that he offers is to come and believe. And if you do, Jesus gives a wonderful assurance. Look down at verse 37. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. The promise is that anyone who does come to Jesus and believe will never be let down or sent away. That not even death itself will take you away from the bread of life, as you will be raised to eternal life with Jesus. Again, this is an extraordinary claim, isn't it? But it's not without evidence. Jesus' own resurrection is the demonstration that he does have power over death and can make and keep this promise. We won't go further into that now, but if you've not investigated it for yourself, the resurrection is the key thing that you have to decide how to explain and whether to believe Jesus. So we've seen that Jesus offers himself as the bread of life, the provision of all that we need, and fully satisfying life that doesn't spoil. And so if you have already come to Jesus and believe in him, I hope this gives us confidence when life feels unsatisfying, when what we work for seems to be spoiling. Jesus promises to never let us go. We already have all that we need, the bread of life, so that we hunger no more, and the promise of eternal life. But if you're here and you're still looking, if you're asking with us, who is this baby? Well, first of all, do come back for the next 2 weeks as we look at some more of these I am statements from Jesus and who he claims to be. Do read more of John's account yourself too, and investigate what he says. It's freely available on the internet. I'm sure we can get a copy here. But also, as we approach the new year, as we often stop and take time to reflect on the past year, to look forward to 2025, why not take a chance to evaluate your life? Are you satisfied? If something's missing, is there anything that could really satisfy forever? Could that something be Jesus? Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Will you come to me and believe? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, the bread of life. We thank you that he offers himself to everyone without limit. And we pray that you would help us to trust in him, to come to him, to take him as he is, and to believe. Pray you'd give us confidence that you will never let us go, and help us to be so thankful for the eternal life that you promised to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on.
Tim, you've got off lightly. There's only one question. Are you ready? Okay. But it means we've got longer for it. Yes. So that is another thing. So one question, thank you so much for this question. It says, does he, that's Jesus, mean full satisfaction in the next life or this one? Because despite my faith, I still don't always feel completely satisfied.
Great, yes, thank you for the question. And I think he does mean full satisfaction in both. But it's, yes, it is significantly harder for us to feel that, I think, now. Mm. I guess it's where we're looking to our satisfaction is going to affect whether we're going to achieve it or not. And Jesus says if we look to him, we will achieve, or he will grant us satisfaction. If we're looking to things that spoil, to money or career or relationships or whatever it is, then those things will never satisfy. And I was reminded we looked at Philippians with our Ignite group, the young people, last term. And there the writer Paul, who's writing a letter to a church who, they're doing okay, but life is hard. And they need encouragement. And he says to them in chapter 4, verse 12, that he knows what it is to be in plenty, and I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I could do all this through him who gives me strength. And so we saw that it's not that there's some secret that you have to go through trials or whatever it is to know what that secret is, but it's something that has been given to us by Jesus. So that's what he says, that he can do all of this through him who gives me strength, through God, that whatever he's facing, whether the world would think him well off and surely satisfied, or whether the world would think him poor and surely longing for more, Paul can say, I'm content, I'm satisfied, because, yeah, I have this bread of life from Jesus. So if we look to Jesus, we can be granted that now. But it will be so much more in the life to come.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, Does that help?
I think that's really helpful. Really helpful, because I think we tend to look for our satisfaction in all those other things that spoil. But actually, and he does say that he's learned the secret. It's not an automatic thing, is it?
Yes.
It is something that he's had to learn, to find his contentment only in Christ, and not to find his contentment, which is what we're all pulled towards, to find our contentment in other things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
That's all right.
That is still our only question.
One has actually come in.
Oh, has it?
You want to do it.
Oh. It hasn't come in on my thing. Oh, right.
Shall I put it up there?
Yes, let's...
Okay.
You've got it. Okay, follow up. Oh, great, like this. Does that mean that working to have a better life in this world and enjoy what God gives us through our work is wrong?
Great, thank you for the question. I don't know, I don't think it does. I don't think there are people who argue then towards asceticism and rejecting everything physical and material. God created us in the world. He created things for us to enjoy. He created us with minds that want to create things for ourselves and others to enjoy. And those are good things. Those are good gifts. What's known as the kind of the general graces of God, things that are given to everyone to enjoy. Working towards to that is a good thing. Again, it's where our focus lies Are we working towards those things because of the pleasure they give us, because of the feelings we get out of them, or are we working towards them for God, for others, in order to enjoy what God gives us?
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you. Thank you very much.